Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you? Now, if you woke up 5 minutes before the show started, then you may be a little more alert. You may be saying to yourself, that don't sound like Pastor Steph. Because it's not. It's Shantice, your engineer. Pastor Steph is relaxing, well, I like to say chillaxing, on her vacation. And the Lord put it on her heart to trust me to host for her. What a blessing. So I'm your temporary stand-in. How was your weekend? I hope it was great. But due to Pastor Steph chillaxing until Wednesday, God spares, we did not have our prayer last night, but I'm sure everyone had a safe and blessed weekend. But as Pastor Steph would always like to say, where were you last week? So last Monday, of course, was our relationship day, and the topic that she brought to the Due Time crew was signs he doesn't want a relationship. And then, of course, I topped it off with the switch tip of the week, switch tip 98, learn to hold yourself accountable. And I have to say, that switch tip followed me throughout the rest of the week, not only with myself, but everything I was reading, everything I was talking to people about, or they called me to talk about, everything that I was watching and listening to, all had to do with someone not being willing to hold themselves accountable. And I was like, wow, okay, God. So I have to make sure that I'm self-reflecting, because you're not letting me, you know, you didn't give me the switch tip and now allow me to see all this during the week. And everything's going buck wild like this when it comes to accountability. Okay, then we had our Church Folk Tuesday, where Pastor Steph brought us the story of the baseball player who decided to serve his wife's divorce papers a couple of days after she just came out of brain surgery. So that just took on his own set of legs. Actually took on a few set of legs. Had a caller call in and give his opinion. And the Due Time crew, you know, had our opinion. We had our opinion. And it was just a mess. It was a mess. So if you missed that story, please go back and listen to it. It was bonkers. Okay, then we had our Wow Wednesday, where, of course, we had Vivian with Socially Conscious bring us her stories and, of course, the update on these COVID numbers. And Pastor Steph started that off with the Wow Ladies, continuing the story of the man wanting the lady with her head freshly cut open sign on the dotted line, because somehow she overlooked and had to come back and let us know that he claimed he was a Christian. So, you know, the Wild Lady just had to dive into that. And then they came and brought us all of the tips on the enemies of your home. So, again, if you did not listen to that, you have to go back and listen, because there's so many things that we don't pay attention to, that we need to pay attention to, things that we befriend that needs to be looked at as our enemy. So you got to make sure you go back and listen to that. Okay. Then, of course, we had our Thursday, but Pastor Steph was already on vacation. So what she did was she set up for us to have a recap of one of her old sit-downs, and it was praying for my husband's deliverance, and that was with Pastor Kim. I forgot she was with us before. Great conversation, great conversation. On Friday, Pastor Steph did the same. She gave us a nice blast from the past with praying for my husband's sexuality, and that was with Elder Nitesha. Amazing, amazing. Again, I forgot. We know. I remember we had Elder Nitesha. We actually had Elder Nitesha twice, I believe. I forgot what her other topic was that she had with Pastor Steph, but it was amazing as well. So we have to make sure if you missed any part of last week, you have to make sure that you go back and listen. Please go back and listen. Okay, so we're going to take this quick break, and I'll be right back with you.
It was a well-paying job, respectable, wearing a suit and tie every day, but I drank 24/7. Woke up, drank 8 or 9 shots of vodka, drank on the way to work, drank at work.
I never could come to terms with admitting that I had an alcohol problem or a pill problem or any problem.
I decided one last time to get clean, and so I went to the Knock It On program.
Not only did I handle my drug addiction, I completely knew how to live life.
Hey, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It's due time with Pastor Steph, with your temporary sub, Shantice. And, you know, Pastor Steph said, you know what, Shantice, I'm just going to let you go ahead and do what you do. But I actually really enjoy the health tips. I'm going to be honest, I haven't been following all of the tips like I need to, but I have been going back into my notes. And, you know, okay, let me make sure I do this. Let me make sure I do that. And I know I shouldn't be picking and choosing because God has given us all of these for us to follow. But, again, you know, I'm still in my discipline mode. So working on being disciplined. But I pulled up a couple of health tips that I came across that I found rather interesting. And it is talking about how to develop healthier habits. So they're giving us 60 ways to live a stronger, longer, and better life. So, of course, we're not going to talk about all 60 this morning, but I did pluck out a couple that Pastor Steph kind of spoke about and touched on already and things that I know that I need to do for myself. But when you're talking about automated behaviors, it's doing things without even thinking about it. So a lot of us, when we wake up in the morning, we automatically grab our phone and start scrolling social media or looking at our notifications, seeing who texts us. So we wake up in the morning and we just automatically run for that cup of coffee or run for that food, or you wake up in the morning and some people automatically start working out. So whatever you do automatically, that is your automated behavior. And it's like, but how many unhealthy habits do we really create and we're given the opportunity to now reset these habits, especially with the COVID numbers going down just a little bit. Don't get too excited. Don't get too relaxed. Just a little bit. But then these experts are saying that your brain requires up to 3 months of repetition to develop the neutral pathway that automates a behavior. But the biggest gain comes during the first month. The habits that you set now may be the habits you stick with for the rest of your life. And I know, like, I've been speaking to my niece a lot about, listen, make sure you're doing these things now at 7. Don't wait until God says you're 37 and you now try to take these on. I'm 36 and it is really difficult for me to take on a lot of these habits. So the first one that I thought was very interesting and very important is talking about boosting your brain health, and it's make weekly exercise dates. You can easily talk yourself out of a workout, but it's more difficult to do when you have a standing commitment to work out with a friend. So there goes that accountability that I was just talking about. Okay, then it's saying exercises are 45% less likely to develop Alzheimer's disease, the Alzheimer's Drug Discovery Foundation reports. So working out can prevent you from having this disease. Now, again, you're talking about discipline. Get up. And, you know, I think for me, it's I'm always thinking about this intense workout. It doesn't have to be intense. It could be a light jog. I hate jogging, but I'll jump rope for a long time. So whatever it is that you have to do in order to get your mobility going, make sure that you do that. Okay, hold on. I don't know what just happened, but I kind of lost it here. Okay. Then the second one that I pulled up, they're saying have a super berry dessert. And Pastor Steph has been bringing us a lot of information when it comes to eating a lot of these berries, blueberries, strawberries, blackberries. And they're saying that dark-colored berries like blueberries and blackberries contain compounds that fight inflammation and help protect your brain. And I don't know about y'all, but I need to make sure that all the brain cells I have left are intact. Saying 1 cup of blueberries consumed daily for 6 months can also lower your risk of cardiovascular disease by 12 to 15%. So you should try berries and plain yogurt as your go-to after dinner treat, which at one point that's all I was eating for breakfast, and that was part of my snack. And then I kind of started getting a little distracted and went back to potato chips. So I got to get back to eating my yogurt and my blueberries because that was my immediate go-to snack. Okay, number three, develop a green tea habit. I know y'all remember this. They're saying especially if your favorite drink is soda, like mine. Saying researchers have found that people who consume sweetened beverages were more likely to develop Alzheimer's. They go to Alzheimer's again. While some studies suggest green tea might promote cognitive function. So I have to honestly say, ever since Pastor Steph gave us that tip on green tea, and one of the benefits of green tea is that it really aids in, like if you have muscle aches, it takes it away. I don't know what was going on, and my body was just hurting, and I do not like taking painkillers. I really don't like taking them for a few reasons. So I made me a cup of green tea, and maybe about 30, 40 minutes later, the muscle pains weren't completely gone, but it had dropped a lot. I was able to move around a little more comfortably. I was able to lay down and be a little more comfortable. So we really got to make sure that we're paying attention to these tips and actually doing it. You know, God has given us these tips because they work. Okay, number four, join a book club. Now, I used to read a lot when I was in elementary. But then when you discover that you can cut school and all that, you stop reading as much. But now that I'm in the Lord, I really, really enjoy reading the Bible. So that's the book club that I'm a part of. They're saying that those who engage their mind most often through intellectual activities such as playing games or reading were 29% less likely to develop dementia during a 5-year follow-up period, keeping your brain fresh. And you can't get more fresher than the Bible, okay? And yes, there are other books out here that are great, but when you read the Bible and you make sure that's your immediate go to, it helps to set the tone of books and things that you read secular, like, it'll help to start to screen. So automatically it's like, no, I ain't reading that because that ain't got nothing to do with the way I'm supposed to be thinking and living and talking and hearing and seeing. So it really helps to screen everything outside of the Bible that you watch and read and listen to and so on and so forth. Okay, now we go down to, they're talking about a healthy tip as far as your sleep. Going to sleep easier. Make your bed each morning. Now, I can't comfortably get in my bed at the end of the day or at the end of the night if my bed is not made up. If my comforters are not folded, if my sheets are all wrinkled and looking, it's like, how am I supposed to get in this and be relaxed? I'm just turned off and upset just looking at it. Okay, but experts are saying, according to a survey by the National Sleep Foundation, those who make their bed nearly every day were more likely to report getting a good night's sleep. So if I'm already annoyed at how my bed looks, it's going to be a little harder for me to go to sleep. Okay, so for those of you who do not like making your bed and you just get up and shower and go, get up 5 minutes early and make up your bed. I promise you, when you come home and you decide to get in your bed, just laying in it is going to feel different. It's going to feel better. Okay, now they're saying turn the fan on when the lights go off or invest in a sound machine. Snoring partners, traffic, and other ambient noise can cause you to wake during the night and experience more daytime sleepiness and fatigue. A source of white noise like a fan can help modulate that problem. Now, there's somebody I know who snores. I can't go to sleep if they snore. So maybe I do need a fan, but then the fan with the snoring, I don't know. So I just thank God that I don't snore, because I've watched people fall asleep and the snore, their snore wakes them up. Like that's what means snore. So you got to be on point. So whatever works for you, whatever noise that'll help divert your snoring so that you and or your partner will be able to sleep better, go ahead and invest in that. Okay, now they're talking about pumping up our heart health. Okay, brushing and flossing regularly. And I know Pastor Steph just maybe like a month ago or so, maybe about a month ago, you know, brought to us the importance of not only brushing our teeth, but flossing your teeth. And let me tell you something. You taste your nasty breath before somebody else smells it. And part of that is because you do not floss. You have to make sure you floss. I'm really trying to get my niece. I bought her own little pack of floss sticks. Getting her in the habit of flossing her teeth, because unfortunately it's not just enough for us to brush and Listerine or whichever mouthwash you use twice a day. You have to make sure that you're flossing, because all of that, the food that's left in your teeth turns into sugar, and that can help to give you infections and cavities and all of that, and now you just got one big old smelly mess. And it does not only stay contained to you. Okay, so experts are saying swollen or bleeding gums caused by bad oral health may lead to microorganisms traveling into the bloodstream, which could cause inflammation and heart damage. And I've heard that from when I was way younger, that you don't take care of your mouth, it can travel up to your brain and into your blood system. Older adults who skimped on oral hygiene were 20 to 35% more likely to die during a study. So you have to make sure. So wait, so this is saying that you cut your lifespan by not flossing. Listen, floss sticks, you go to the Dollar Tree, they are a dollar, maybe $1.15. If you ain't got $1.15, you got to reevaluate your life, okay? Go and invest in some floss sticks or Dentifloss, whichever one you like. I like the floss sticks a little better. But whichever one works for you, and make sure that you're flossing. And when Pastor Steph brought this up before, she did bring us a difference between flossing before brushing and after brushing. So if you don't remember, go and get a recap. I'm going to try to figure out which day that was aired. But I'll just tap into our secretary, Ketty, because she documents everything. Okay, now they're telling us about walking off your cravings, which I found very, 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 very interesting. Smoking puts you at a higher risk for heart disease and stroke. When a craving hits, try lacing up your shoes and heading out for a quick walk and breath of fresh air. Who knows? You might just want to keep going. So, you know, a lot of people struggle with cigarettes, but there are other habits. There are other cravings that – sorry, we're having some technical difficulties over here with somebody. But there's other cravings that we need to make sure we're walking off. You know, if you're struggling with cigarettes, alcohol, if you're struggling with the craving to curse, if you're struggling with food cravings, whatever it is, they're saying walk it off. I have to say also that, you know, someone gave me a tip as far as what they do with themselves. You know, I decided to go out and just take a walk sometimes. And then it helped me to remember, like, how much I keep myself in the house. And I'm like, maybe I should try that. You know, because sometimes it's not enough to just pull the shades back and open up the window. Maybe going outside will help to divert my mind from some of the things that, you know, is coming into it that I need to distract myself from indulging in these cravings. So just make sure, especially, this is touching on if you smoke, but for those of you who don't smoke but you have other cravings that you need to walk away from, utilize this tip. Now they're talking to us about shaking off stress. Take a daily do not disturb break. Whether at your desk, in your kitchen, or on a deck outside, close your eyes and do not open them for anyone. Even 5 minutes will feel wonderful. We all need that do not disturb break. Now, that does not mean to just go ahead and block all the people you don't want to talk to. And I'm mainly talking to myself and anyone like me because I am quick to do that. Oh, okay, so you said I don't have to be bothered. Good. No. But we all need that one-on-one time with ourselves throughout the day, especially if you work a hectic job or let's say you're a stay-at-home mom or, you know, anything where it requires your day to get a little hectic or if your day just is automatically hectic, you do need that to block everything else out, okay? And I remember my niece a couple of weeks told me that they were doing something in her class. Again, she's in second grade, and somehow the teacher told them to meditate or something, and she said, Auntie, I didn't meditate, I prayed. And I was like, oh, okay. So the teacher was, you know, trying to get them, even in their class, on the how strenuous, well, I can't even say that now, because the work they're giving these second graders is like, what are you doing? But how strenuous could their day really get as 7 and 8 year olds? But yet the teacher is teaching them what it means to, you know, just have that one-on-one time with you. And of course, as Christians, we're understanding that we can't block out absolutely everything, because that would include blocking out God and Jesus. But she chose to tap into what God is teaching her, and she used that time, whatever amount of time it was for, that it was just her and Jesus. So we have to make sure that we're taking that time out for ourselves. Okay, and the last tip that they're giving us that we're going to touch on this morning is setting boundaries with technology. Okay, and they're saying establish a no phone zone, starting with no phones at dinner and in the bedroom. One review of 290 studies showed that they found that an association between frequent mobile phone use and depressive symptoms and sleep problems. So there is a connection between always being on your phone and having symptoms of depression and having issues with going to sleep. So for all of us who say this doesn't affect that, lies, it does. And they did 290 studies that show that it does. Okay, so make sure, especially, you know, we had a sleepover here over the weekend, and, you know, everyone is so quick to pick up their phone. You know, they're here with each other, the kids are here with each other, but yet they got to call somebody else. I'm like, okay, hello, wait, when I was growing up, you played with yourself, and you were lucky, you know, if you had a mother like mine, you were lucky if you were able to invite someone over, because, you know, she always welcomed, you know, all my friends, but, you know, she was very, you know, protective, as she should be. But, you know, you have to understand the importance of engaging with the people that's already here. How are you engaged? You here at a sleepover, but check, you get ready, you FaceTiming so-and-so. No. No phone zone. So I took the phones away. That's it. Sit here and learn what it means to watch a movie and talk about the movie. And we have to stop. And you know what? The kids do it a lot because us parents and adults do it a lot. So we really have to make sure that we're establishing this no phone zone. Okay, so again, really quickly, we're going to go over these habits that we need to take on to live a longer, stronger, and better life. And they're telling us to make weekly exercise dates. So choose someone to, and y'all take turns holding each other accountable when it's time to work out. Have a super berry dessert. Make sure you're tapping into your blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, whichever ones you like, and you can mix them up. Develop your green tea habit. Join a book club. Again, I recommend and suggest the Bible. Make your bed each morning. Get up 5 minutes early and make your bed so that you can sleep better later on that night. Okay, turn the fan on when the lights go off. So if you or your partner snores, try to get something that's going to help divert that noise and distract you from that so you can have a better night's rest. Brush and floss regularly. It affects your heart, and it can go up and travel and affect your brain also. Okay, walk off your cravings. Doesn't matter what kind of cravings you have, anything that you crave that you know you shouldn't, lace up some sneakers, go for a walk. Work out. Go do something. Help distract you from what you shouldn't be meditating on. Okay, take a daily take a daily do not disturb break. So make sure, even if it's for 5 minutes, you tap into Jesus and you help him to just have that time of serenity with just you and him. Help divert you from any possible chaos that's going on or that is to come. You know, I've learned to pray, God, please prepare me for my day. I don't know what I'm going to come up against. So sometimes you need that mental health break. And establish the no phone zone. So again, for you, if that's in the bedroom, if that's at the dinner table, if it's in the living room, y'all decide to watch TV, you know, a movie, a show, whatever, just make sure it's a period of time where no one is allowed to be on your phone. Especially, okay, let me just say this real quick. I know we did go over this. For those of you who remember, I used to work in restaurants, and there's nothing more annoying than having your server come up to the table and everybody at the table is on their phone. So much to the point where no one even looks at the menu. It's annoying. So help them help you out and just have a no-phone zone at dinner. Why are we going out to sit at dinner and everybody's in the phone? And Brother Al talks about that all the time. Okay, so I hope these health tips were helpful for y'all because it's definitely helping me with a lot. Okay, now on to our news. I came across some stuff these past couple of days. So all of, not last week, but the week before, we were talking about the whole fiasco down at the Oscars with Will Smith getting crazy with Chris Rock. And the Academy has decided to ban Will Smith from the Oscars for 10 years. 10 years. So he came to give his response, which reads, quote, "I accept and respect the Academy's decision." When I read this headline, I was just like, okay, now, Pastor Steph, it brought me back to when she had us on, I believe, Thursday before last, and she asked, you know, well, what do you think should be done with, you know, Will Smith since, you know, he got up and did what he did. And, you know, the Zootom crew gave their feedback. I had no idea. You know, I said, you know, there should be some type of, you know, quick timeout. You know, a 5-minute timeout. You know, something. Nothing strenuous. You know, because even though I felt what he did was very extreme, especially considering the, you know, it was not only contained to the people in the room specifically, but anyone who had a TV or YouTube. But for 10, I mean, even a year, I thought would have probably been like, I don't know. Okay. But see, I didn't even know that he was serving on the board or something. And then I remember Pastor Steph saying, like, there's some type of membership you have to have. I don't know. You know, with these people, it's like things get so complicated unnecessarily. But apparently he was part of the board, and he resigned from the board as well. And they were saying that there will be no acknowledgement of him, no nothing. And there has been talk about there being a Netflix, I think a documentary or something that he was supposed to be doing that got canceled. And, you know, it's like, so pretty much people are pulling the endorsements from him, so on and so forth. But it's like for 10 years, say Mr. Smith shall not be permitted to attend any academy events or program in person or virtually, including but not limited to the academy awards. Like, what do you mean included but not limited only to, so he can't even go to the corner store? Like, that's just how, you know, I was reading it. Okay, wait, I'm coming across another quote, from Will Smith. Says, my actions at the 94th Academy Awards presentation were shocking, painful, and inexcusable. The list of those I have hurt is long and includes Chris, his family, many of my dear friends and loved ones, all of those in attendance and global audiences at home. So he was apologetic. You know, some may say he didn't apologize quick enough, or his initial apology when he accepted his award was kind of jaded, or, you know, however you think of it. But then I also came across something else I was reading the other day where the powers that be of the Academy Awards apologized to everyone for their negligence in properly handling the situation at that moment. And if anyone knew my grandmother, I had my lips twisted up like she did, because it was like, bruh. Ain't no need to apologize now. I mean, that's just my thought. You know, what are you apologizing for now? You know, whatever you're going to do now is whatever you're going to do now. But, you know, don't try to now throw more dirt on Will Smith or Chris Rock or whomever just to cover up your negligence. You know, that's just how I took it. So, you know, again, Pastor Steph is out of town. So if you have any thoughts, if you want to call in or if you want to text, 347-755-4548. The number is switching up for the next few days. But please call in or text in your comments and thoughts. Okay, and while I was reading this about the 10-year ban, I came across, I didn't know that there were a few other celebrities that have been banned from the Academy Awards also. It wasn't just Will Smith, but you had Adam Kimmel back in 21, some type of rape allegation, supposedly. He claimed that it was consensual sex, but the girl was under 17. Yeah, so you already knew you was going to get in trouble for that. Then you had Roman Polanski back in 2018. This also was with some type of sexual... What is with these people? Okay, wait, he said he won the Best Director Oscar for The Pianist in 2003. I believe that's a movie with Jamie Foxx. He remains a fugitive after pleading guilty to unlawful sex with a minor back in 1977. Okay. Back in 1977 and fleeing the U.S. the following year. He's been living in Europe ever since. All right. Okay, then you had Bill Cosby back in 2018. Which, of course, that followed right with Roman Polanski. So I guess after all of his allegations started coming out, the Academy Awards banned him also. I didn't know Harvey Weinstein back in 2017 was banned. Everyone knew of his debacle, all of the stuff that he was involved in with the whole sex thing. Sex is going to take us down. Okay, then you had Carmine Charity, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, back in 2004, he became the first person to have his Academy membership revoked. Oh, the quote-unquote Godfather actor had loaned out award screener videos. Oh, so he was amongst the first. Oh, and he passed away back in 2019. Okay, then you had Richard Gere and Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins back in 93, and the list goes on. So Will ain't the only one. This is news to me, but I don't know. Please tell me what y'all think about this 10-year boycott against Will Smith. And he's just been looking like he's been going through it mentally and emotionally since then. So I still stand on what I stand on as far as my feelings towards the initial, you know, issue. But, you know, it's, wow, okay. All right, so I came across this story the other night. I didn't find it on Instagram, but I did go on her page. So I believe Vivian, a couple of weeks ago, or Lady Tamika, I think Lady Tamika put a stamp on it, this OnlyFans thing that's out now. So pretty much it's like a quote-unquote clean way to be a porn star now, I guess. So it's almost like a Facebook, But you paid, you subscribed to see naked pictures and videos of quote-unquote models, the way they just throw these titles around now. So social media model kills boyfriend in their Miami home. So a social media influencer, she's been detained. I'm trying to get, remember her name. Hold on. Clenny, she has about 2 million followers on Instagram. But pretty much they got into this huge fight. Courtney, that's her name. Sorry, Courtney. Got into this huge fight with her boyfriend. Now, his last name, I'm not sure if he, what kind of last name this is. I'm not sure if it's like African, but it's Abamsali. Got into this huge fight, and according to her, it was self-defense. And there was actually someone, one of their neighbors, I don't know if it was in the next building or so, but they recorded some of what happened. But by the time the authorities got there, there was blood everywhere. She stabbed him to death. So only they know what was going on, but it was some type of, they're saying that it was a bloody and gruesome domestic killing. Now, again, remind you, this is this popular social media influencer, which I don't, see these titles, man. And I did a switch tip on title. You know, this influencer, what are you influencing? So is this what you're influencing? Okay, so social media influencer slash model and now only fan person, and you know, I can only imagine what they were possibly arguing about. There were a few statements taken from the victim's family. One reads, "My brother was so caring, my inspiration and inspiration to others, funny, very bright," and that was from his family. I'm saying that they really grieve over what's going on. And his brother also stated, "I do believe that she is the killer and she does need to be arrested." Yes, I'm going to reread that. "I do believe that she is the killer and she needs to be arrested. They have no doubt in their mind, his family, that she did this." And her name is Courtney Taylor. Okay, I'm sorry. This is all mixing up. I don't know what's going on. But Courtney Taylor, they believe that this wasn't some random, "Oh, we've been fighting and, you know, this just happened. I was protecting myself." The family believes that somehow this could have possibly been premeditated because this is just a thing for her to do, you know, get upset and, you know, go all out. But unfortunately, he lost his life. So they don't know. Everything is still under investigation. They don't know what's going on, what happened, what the argument was about, what started the argument, what kept the argument going, but somebody put hands on somebody, and now somebody's dead, and the other somebody's going to jail. Okay, and he was only 27 years old. So, I mean, whether you're young or old, you shouldn't die. You know, these young people, it's like nobody wants to. What's Pastor Steph always say? Somebody has to be the first to shut up. And when you don't want to be the first to shut up, this is what it could possibly lead to. So it gets very scary. Okay, what's the next story that we have? Okay, so I follow the Shade Room on Instagram, and one of the things that really caught my attention, there was a woman by the name of Nancy Crampton Brophy, who wrote an essay. See, some of them saying novel, some of them saying essay. Wrote an essay that was entitled, hold on, because I want to get the exact title of the essay, "How to Kill Your Husband." Now, she was married. So back in 2011, she wrote this "How to Kill Your Husband" essay, and her husband is found murdered back in 2018. He was a culinary instructor, and his students found him shot in his back and close range in his chest, and, you know, left for dead in one of the classrooms. And after the detectives and whomever did the investigation, it led them right back to Mrs. Brophy. And it's like, wow, well, My question was, why are we writing an essay or a novel, a paragraph, anything, how to murder your husband? Why are we writing anything that says how to murder your husband? And she, it was some crazy quotes. Hold on, I'm trying to find it right here. Okay. She wrote, it was in a wry tone in which she assumes the persona of a woman who wants to murder her husband. Nancy writes, divorce is expensive, and do you really want to split your possessions? Then she added, or if you married for money, aren't you entitled to all of it? The drawback is the police aren't stupid. They are looking at you first, so you have to be organized, ruthless, and very clever. Now, if you ain't told on yourself, I don't know how, like, you can't get more blunt than this. Like, what? What? Again, I was a very vengeful person. I could sit and in 60 seconds think of 90 ways to get at you. But for me to take a pen and a piece of paper and write down how to kill your boyfriend, how to murder your sister, how to do... Why? And then after writing that, even if I didn't self-publish this, now, mind you, she published this. Like, this was out for the world to read. And then you go and, listen, even if I didn't kill my husband, I would have to put him in protective custody because they all going to come look at me first, especially after I have written this. We don't have to say what side of the fence this is on. But, oh, my goodness, this is just... Please, 347-755-4548. We're going to tap into our Due Time crew right now to talk about these crazy people. Let's tap into Pastor Charlene. Pastor Charlene, good morning.
Good morning, Shantice. You're doing a wonderful job. How are you, my love?
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I saw you were on from the beginning of when we were talking about the, you know, the healthy ways to gain these habits, like which healthy habits we should take on to live stronger and better and longer. Did anything jump out at you?
Yes. The don't disturb timeout. That one.
Okay, now why did that one jump out at you?
Because I do need to take that time out and as they say, woosah. So I thought of that.
Yes, we need that sometimes.
Yes. Absolutely, just a woosah, but you didn't say how long.
Oh, well, I think this one said for 5 minutes. Hold on, let me go back and look. I think this one said for 5 minutes, or did I throw out the 5 minutes? Hold on. Because, you know, it depends, I guess it depends on your day, you know, like how your day is set up. Let's see, that was shaking off the stress. Hold on. Let me see if I can get back down. I think I threw in the five. Oh, no, it says even 5 minutes will feel wonderful. So they're saying at least do 5 minutes. And see how, like, you know, how beneficial even just 5 minutes is.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so, you know, it depends on, again, you know, how hectic your day is, if you have a demanding job or, you know, like, and maybe if you work from home, maybe you can carve out more than 5 minutes, or maybe you can do 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, you know, but it depends. So,
okay.
Pastor Charlene.
Yes.
What do you think about this 10-year protest boycott against Will Smith for the Academy Award?
I do know that when we talked about it, I said that, you know, he should, you know, something should happen. But I didn't know 10 years. Are they trying to make a point? And then once you start reading the other people, because, see, I didn't know that other people had got banned. from it as well. But
right.
My first thought was, you know, are you trying to make a point of this using him? You know, because it's always got to be somebody that you got to use as the scapegoat. So that was my first thought until you start reading others. 10 years and to take away everything, and, you know, sometimes 10 years can run into even longer. I don't think
right.
you're 10. You know, I don't think 10 is it should be 10. I don't know how
mm-hmm.
long, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
it is what it is.
Oh, man, Pastor Charlotte. I think, too, that it may be they did it that much because, like I said, the powers that be over there did post their apology stating how they did say we dropped the ball. So is this your way of trying to make up for dropping the ball by now banning this man for 10 years? You know,
mm-hmm.
like, wow. Okay. That, like, so now he has to suffer not only for himself, but for your negligence. You know, like,
yes.
that's where my mind went also. Okay. The social media model that kills her boyfriend. What are your thoughts on that, Charlotte?
You never know who's watching, and people forget to close their blinds.
Right.
If you want to do something where other people can see. So that was
right.
crazy right there, you know. And then for her just to outright kill him. Now, the person, and plus, you know, the buildings, well, it's depending on where it is. But, you know, these buildings here in New York are kind of close. You can actually see somebody watching TV from across
right.
the way.
Right.
You know, so if you was going to do something, you know, then you should have took care of that a little more better. Maybe she read the lady, the next story, maybe she read her book.
Right? Well, if you got away with killing your husband back in 2018, then I should be able to get away with killing my boyfriend. Yes,
exactly.
You're right. Yes, and the way the video showed, like, the person who was recording, you know, because also you have the zoom in effect. So even if I'm a little far from you, I could still zoom in on my camera, you know, on my phone, and at least get some type of sight as to what's going on. So, and you know, a lot of these, because they were in a condo, they lived in a condo in Miami. You know, a lot of these condos, they don't have anything to their windows. Especially if they feel like mm-hmm. they're high up enough from the ground, it's just like open. And I've always wondered, like, even when I see it in movies, I'm like, so there's nothing at the windows, no blinds, no nothing. Like, you even go hood and put a sheet up there, like, it's just nothing. Like, you know, but that's how. You know, it's like I hate the sheet look, but nothing. Like, you have nothing, but a lot of them, that's how they feel. Okay, I'm high enough up, can't nobody see me anyway. And it's like, yeah, but no, you still need to have something there. Oh my goodness. So now with the lady, and here's the thing: she wasn't even a writer. She sold life insurance, and they never said like what made her write this. I don't know if she like just wanted to get into writing or something. I don't know. But she wrote this essay, How to Murder My Husband, back in 2011. And then in 2018, husband comes up dead. And now she's just now facing, I guess, going to court and stuff for this. Because after, you know, they kept doing the investigations, everything led back to her. So I guess either she didn't follow her own tips or something went wrong. But what are your thoughts on this? Craziness.
I thought of that she was crazy for writing it. And then she should have read How to Get Away with Murder, not How to Murder, How to Get Away
right.
with Murder.
Right. Like, wait, what's the exit plan? You didn't give us no exit plan.
Exactly. Because
wow.
even when you wrote it and you knew that you was going to kill him, you should have wrote the second half of that, now I'm sitting in jail, because you know they're coming after you first. Automatic.
Right? So here's the sequel: How to Murder Your Husband, and how to get out of, how to win the trial, or how to beat the trial, or how to choose your lawyer. Like, what's next that you're going to write? Because that's a good point, Pastor Sean. I didn't even think of that. You wrote How to Murder, but you didn't write How to Get Away with Murder. Mm-hmm. And that was way before the Viola Davis series, right? Was it? I don't know. Back in 2011. Yeah, because that was out on TV when Scandal was on TV. So yeah, so maybe somewhere around that time. Yes. Well, I was in the Scandal heavy. Yes. So yeah, she didn't write the proper way. So maybe that's why she failed at home tips. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Charlene. Hold on here while we tap into another Due Time member. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. How are you?
I'm good. Did you say Happy Wednesday?
I did. Oh, Happy Monday. I'm not
Damn.
Used to being on Monday.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, wait, okay, now I know I'm not used to getting up as early as I did this morning because that's normally the time I lay down for bed, but this is good morning. Thank you so much for calling in. Were you able to hear some of the health tips?
I was.
Did any one of them, or did any of them jump out at you?
The do not disturb one, I definitely need to utilize that tip because I be on my phone to the very last minute, and then it's like, all right, let me finally put this down, pray, and go to sleep. But my mind is just, you know, wired from being on my phone, watching videos and stuff like that. So I need to utilize that at least like an hour or so before bed.
Okay. So you kind of there with Pastor Charlene as well. Okay. Now, what are your thoughts on this Will Smith 10-year boycott?
I don't get it. I mean, me personally, I don't understand why we're still fiending, to say the least, why we're still fiending to be a part of that. Like, I don't understand why it's so important for us to be a part of it, to get awards from them. I still don't understand that part. I don't know how that's going to affect him in any way, shape, or form. Okay, he can't be a part of it. He can't sit on the show. He won't get any awards. Is it really going to affect his pockets, though?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. They're doing the most for no reason.
It's just like you saying that reminds me all the time when me and Pastor Steph are talking, and we're like, all of the clout that you have, the money, the connections, why are you not starting your own? And
right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, get with your counterparts and, you know, your people, and have your own. And when the powers that be over at the Grammys or the Oscars or the this and the that, and they see y'all doing that, I will, like, guarantee they will be tapping into, oh, well, how can we be a part of this? But like you said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Maybe this will start it. They got 10 years. Maybe if they want to defend the Will Smith and fight back, they got 10 years to come up with their own.
No, that's true. And sometimes you do need that, you know, that extra push, you know, to
right.
be like, because remember, just a few years ago, not that long ago, they were boo-hooing because they weren't acknowledged
mm-hmm.
here. And now you get here and then look. And then, like you said, okay, so now you got more than enough time to sit. And especially with the, you know, the careers that those two have built for themselves, even individually, like forget them as a couple, even individually, they'll be able to do so much. Even if you did
right.
something where you honored up and coming, you know, all of these indie movies that's coming out, and you see the indie
mm-hmm.
Actors and directors and writers and stuff. Even if you did something where you focused on that, that's actually a good idea. I got to talk about stuff about that. Even if you did something that focused on that, and you know, you do it as like a mentoring thing, and you're now honoring. Do you know how many people would be like grabbing to be a part of that?
Right,
like,
and that'll
that
make up
be,
for the up-and-coming actors and actresses that he had to apologize for, like the young ladies that did the King Richard movie with him. Those were, like, their first times. That was their big break, and you pretty much kind of squandered that and squashed that when you did what you did. So, yeah, that would be a good idea to make up for what he did to them.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and he's kind of already doing that now with Bel Air. You know, you have these, because I, with the exception of the one who plays Hillary, I haven't seen, it doesn't mean that they haven't, but I haven't seen them playing anything. Like, this is my first time seeing the one playing Carlton and Ashley and Will. The husband, I've seen the mother in something else. I can't remember what. But for the most part, the cast is like this, like you said, this is their big break. You know, so even the one who plays Hillary, even the one who's playing Hillary, even though I've seen her in something else, but this now puts her in a different, on a different level in her career. So now you get to do this. And how many people wouldn't want to be mentored by Jada Pinkett? All of the success that she has, you know, that she has had. So it, you really got to, oh my goodness. I don't, it's like you're so, like you said, you're clamming so hard to be a part of something that you don't see how God has sex you to be aside and be greater than what you're even saying that you want to be. You know, that's actually good. We got to work on that with Pastor Steph Vivian. That's actually a good idea. Now, what do you think about this writer, this life insurance seller / writer?
How to Murder My Husband. She's ridiculous. It's just like these rappers and stuff that go and start rapping and just, you know, incriminating themselves. Why would you then go and write a essay about it? She probably would have gotten away with it if she didn't sit there and tell on herself, because they didn't immediately, you know, find her guilty until a little bit later. So she probably would have got away with it if she wasn't so foolish.
I'm a right. That's just like when somebody gets hurt or killed or something, and the police find out that they just had like a fight or a verbal altercation with someone, and someone said, "I'll kill you, I'll kill you," and they could have been saying it in the heat of the moment. Because you verbally threatened them, now you're the prime suspect.
Right, exactly.
You know, so it's like, okay. What do you, like you said, what do you think, which way do you think they're going to go and they're going to look? And then you, at your own admittance, you wrote, even without you writing this, because you're the spouse, they're going to come look at you first. Vivian? I don't, when I saw this, I was just like, what? Huh? But you wrote it yourself. You wrote they're going to come looking for you. I don't know, maybe because she wrote it so long ago, I guess she figured they wouldn't, you know. She wrote it in 11. He got killed in 18, so maybe, I guess she figured, wouldn't nobody be looking my way too much, because it's not like I just wrote it, but all this stuff catches up to you.
No, because now it's way premeditated, because you wrote this years ago, and then you followed through with this. So she just really put herself in a tight spot. Like, that was dumb.
No, it really was. It really was. But thank you, Vivi. If you can stay on, that would be great. If not, I understand, because I know you're going to have to take your mental health five-minute break before you go into work. So let me know if you're able to stay. We have one of our most loyal listeners on. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good, thank you. Fine, thank you. Well, I'm sorry. I'm fine, thank you. So were you able to hear? Well, I know you was able to hear, because you always on. You're our secretary. But what about the health tips? Did any one of those jump out to you?
All of them.
You sound like
every
my
last one of them. Yes, yes. Every last one of them.
Okay, so wait. So what? If you had to choose one, which one would you choose that you really need to focus on?
Make a weekly exercise date.
Okay. So actually, I'll be your accountability partner, because I actually have to start doing that too. So, you know, I know you can't work out too much because, you know, unfortunately you have asthma, but there's still some things you can do.
Yes, and sorry. Number five was make your bed. I do that every morning when I get up. Okay. I do that.
And then how does it feel when you go to get in the bed for the night?
Oh, it feels lovely. I know as soon as
See?
I get in the bed.
See?
That's
See?
The truth.
See, because right now my bed isn't made because I'm about to, you know, do laundry, change my linen, everything, and just walking past it, looking at it like that gets me mad. Even though I know why it's not made up, but it's just like, no, it just turns my whole attitude. Like, I don't even want to see my bed like that. And it's not even really messy. It's just the comforter isn't folded, but that's not made up. So it really does, like you said, it really does just change the feeling of getting back in the bed at the end
it
of
does.
The night. Oh,
it
my
does.
Gosh. Thank you for confirming that with me. It's not a listener. Don't think it's just me. Oh, goodness. Okay, Keddie, this Will Smith boycott. What you think about that?
Well, the boycott is a little extreme to me. You know, he should be punished. But for 10 years, I think that's a little extreme. Our pastor always said we have to just watch what we do, you know, before we do it. And he just didn't. He just reacted, and now it just probably messed up his career or anything he wants to put his hands on. So,
right.
I'm sorry that
right.
it happened, but it happened.
Yeah, but you know what? Vivian brought up a really good point that I didn't think about, and then a lot of, like, after she said it, it, like, had me thinking about how God will move things around at times. So she was saying that, okay, now you did this, now they're talking about boycotting you for 10 years, but why are you still fighting to be a part of anything, whether you did
right.
something good or bad, and you can be doing
right.
your own, like Pastor Steph always says. Do you think that possibly, because God did not give me this, but after Vivian brought this point up a few minutes ago, it has me thinking now. Do you think that God could have allowed that to happen so it would put Will Smith in a position to reevaluate what it is that he's pursuing and chasing and wanting to be a part of? And
yes.
if God would want
I
him
think...
to set something up on his own?
Yes. I agree with Vivian, too, because we never know what God has for us. And sometimes he has to sit us down. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to have like a chill moment and think about
mm-hmm.
the things that he wants for us, not the things we want for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I think it's for him, too. I think God is just letting him just sit and you know, think about the things he should be doing. First of all, we all should be seeking God.
Right.
So maybe, you know, hoping that he has time to really sit down and think about everything he's doing. And hopefully he put God in his life at first.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a really... No, you did.
Yeah.
You did. That's
okay.
a really good... A really good point. Like I said, I didn't even think of it in that aspect. Pastor Charlene, what do you think about that? Do you think God may have allowed this to go down the way it did to help Will Smith put certain things in perspective as far as, you know, this point in his career and in his life, if he's still clamoring to be a part of something that maybe God is saying, this isn't for you, I may have you to do this?
Possibility. Absolutely, because of the fact that it gives you time to reflect. It gives you time to see, to search yourself, because the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. And it gives you time for him to be able to know what his possibilities can go from here. you know. And one of the things that, as I was listening to you ladies, that which was excellent, that for him to be able to start something fresh and new and to be able to minister to the others that are coming up and to show them, this was my mistake. See, and that's where we go into our testimony, where that I struggled here, this is how I was feeling, and with that, to show you, don't do this.
Right.
You know, and within the part of, you know, where it took a second slap, you know, not that he killed nobody, because the way they're making it of how everything is coming out is that he might as well did more than a slap, you know, but just that quick second of that slap turned his whole life upside down. And where that, when we allowed the enemy to come in to, and that's how quick things can happen to you, you know, and where that we have to value our time and our talents and, you know, and being able to help somebody else along the way. Now, if he could just get, you know, one person just to hear his story, you know, because a lot of times people got to go through jail. You know, we go through so many different things that we have done in our lives, you know, and then when you sit back and you got that time where he is on timeout, you know, then therefore you're able to regroup. And he's, yeah, he could be able to be a mentor and be able to help the ones that's come up and to show his mistake, because this ain't the only mistake that he has done, him or his wife.
Right, right. Thank you, thank you. We have a comment from a listener that reads, 10 years, we don't know what God has planned, so yeah, that punishment is a bit extreme. Yeah, so, it again, so what if it had to be extreme, like Vivian said, in order for it to, for it, like you said, to be sat down, Ketty, Pastor Sean, like you said, so that it can really be brought to light what it is I'm supposed to be doing, you know? Okay, Ketty, the social media the social media naked model influencer kills her boyfriend, boyfriend. They're having this fight, and somehow the knife gets in her hand, and she stabs him, and now he's gone. What comes to mind for you?
Well, something had to happen. Maybe, you know, he said to her, I don't want you being on social media no more, and blah, blah, blah. And they had an argument, so she took the knife and stabbed her. I don't think she did anything to her as far as nothing more than words. And I must say, women can be more devious than men. I'm sorry. So it had to be something in there. She was trying to get rid of him because the family was saying that he was nice. He was a nice young man and so forth. So I think she just stabbed him just to shut him up. We don't know her attitude. You know, Pastor Self will always tell us, you know, get to know your mate before, you know, you go on, you know, get really involved with them.
That's right.
Get to know the person. You don't know whether she's mentally ill before or her family is mentally ill.
Right.
This is what happened. And I hope she don't get away with it because, of course, he's black. And, you know, they just might brush that under the rug like it was an accident. But I don't think it was an accident. And I think she really meant to do it.
Yeah, it's, but you know what, Ketty, that came to mind for me too as soon as I read it. I was like, oh, so now she's a part of this OnlyFans thing. I could see that being the foundation of the issue. So now you're a part of if you were to see it, Ketty, when I see you, I'm going to show it to you. It's just like a fake clean way to be like a prostitute. It's just like, remember, wasn't it Vivian? Vivian, didn't you bring us the story about this? About the stalker? He bought the TV and the fireplace? Yeah, because they subscribe. So as a man, I pay to be able to go on your page, just like you do pay-per-view to see porno, to go on your page and see your naked pictures and your videos or whatever you're doing. So even if you're completely naked or you got a bikini or whatever on, I get to watch these videos or see these pictures, and you can connect with them. So like in Vivian's story, he connected with the girl because he said, I could buy you this, that, and the third, and then remember he ended up stalking her. Ended up in a house and all this other crazy stuff. So I can easily see that being, okay, you're on social media naked because you're a model. I play these titles. You're a model on there. And then now you're a part of this, and this OnlyFans thing, it grew quick. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, oh, what are you doing? They said, I'm helping this girl with the OnlyFans thing. And I had completely forgot. I was like, well, what is that? And then when I looked up, I was like, oh, right, that's what it is. So it's growing. And then if it's anything like the story Vivian brought up, then the boyfriend already knows what comes along with all of this. So I can see that easily being, you know, the initial argument. Oh, goodness gracious. And then it's like, why do I need a boyfriend if I'm going to be doing this? If I'm going to be getting men to give me money, you know, even if it's just to see me, then why do I have a boyfriend? But that's just me. That's just me. So, Keddie, How to Murder Your Husband. Did you buy that book?
You know how many times? Oh, my goodness. It's like when you go to a store. Let's just say you're a thief. And you go to the store and you steal. And now I'm announced, okay, I done stole from the store. I done stole me a pair of pants. So this is exactly what she did. She told... She, even though she made an essay, she didn't say what she was going to do. Right here. But I'm going to tell the world that I'm going to write a book. My husband wound up dead. What do you think people are going to say or think? They're going to know you did it. You wrote an essay. Now all of a sudden your husband is dead? That was the most thing ever.
I'm telling you, like I said, I would have to put my husband in protective custody because, like, listen, don't stomp your toe, don't break your ankle, don't do nothing because they're coming to me first. Just because I wrote, well, like she said, and it's true, as your spouse, they're going to look at me first, but especially because I wrote, like, so careless. Oh, thank you so much, Keddie. If you
You're welcome.
You can stay on.
Okay.
We're going to go down to Lady Tamika because she's on with us now. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. I apologize for the extra noise, but I'm out in the streets this morning.
No problem. Happy that you're able to call in. How was your weekend?
It was wonderful. And yours?
Mine was good, thank you. Good. I'm sorry. Fine, thank you. Okay, so I know that you heard the stories. What do you think about Will Smith?
Yes, indeed. This Will Smith thing, you know, I think 10 years is quite harsh. You know, and I honestly felt like Pastor Charlene, that you're trying your best to set an example. And so you feel that by doing it as long as 10 years, you're setting an example. And I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, that the other people who also were not able to go, I'm sure that it couldn't have been 10 years. I could be wrong. It might be a color slight. Which is, to my thought, you know, you do something, you do 2 years for someone else. However, if you're on our side of the fence, it's 10 years, you know. The other thing is I kind of felt like other areas, not just the awards, was going to be blackballed because I mentioned it because you set an example. The other thing is you've got people that have been following him when he, as far back as the Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff. And so, you know, that's a whole totally different following. We've been following you from that point to this point, and you hurt a lot of people by that one thing. So I figured that outside of the Academy Awards, something else is going to transpire, and I'm seeing it now, because I mentioned being blackballed by certain things. I knew that was going to happen, and now that's actually what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I didn't even think about the color thing initially. I think it's because I was thrown with just finding out that this had been done with other actors and actresses as well. Okay, so the
right,
social
but look how
media
silent that is. The other ones we didn't
right,
hear about.
Right, right.
This is exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Right. No, it's a really good point, and you're right. You're right. How is it that, and you know, it is okay. The Oscars just happened, so now, 3 weeks later, now you're talking about a 10-year ban. But again, like you said, even with Harvey Weinstein, as you know, I wasn't watching the news, you know, back then, but I knew about that, but I didn't know nothing about him being blackballed from the Oscars either. So you're absolutely right. It's like this thing is like, oh, we're going to make sure we make this big. We're going to make sure. And these were sex offenders. These were sex
mm-hmm.
offenders.
Exactly.
People get slapped every day.
The other thing, the other thing that I'm thinking is also, this is also their way of escaping their responsibility. Because remember,
mm-hmm.
they did nothing. And then
mm-hmm.
as we went along, oh, now there's cops and there's security. And we didn't hear about anything on their responsibility until days and weeks after the event had already transpired. Nobody saw anything move. We watched football games where some stranger walked on the field and people lost their mind. And you could see that happening on the film. Where did that happen during the Academy Awards?
Exactly. 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 Ridiculous. Ridiculous. So social media model influencer kills boyfriend. Thinking that was a self-defense thing?
Most likely. Also, don't ever underestimate. Just because they're small stuff or short stuff or, you know, you think they don't have enough, you never know what they know, what they have access to, what type of weapons they have, you know. And unfortunately, you know, your life has ended. We keep talking about this fans only or only fans thing. You know, I had mentioned it before
mm-hmm.
because, like I said, you know, a friend of a friend. It's pretty much an exotic site where you look at either apparel or videos or intimacies or role plays. It's all kinds of stuff. You know, if you're into fetishes, you know, you can find stuff there as well. And, you know, just because, you know, you're showing your wares, not that we think that that's the right thing, of course, but just because you're showing your wares doesn't mean that I can't defend myself. And I honestly do believe that, you know, that might be a self-defense thing, but two wrongs don't make a right, meaning that when you open up your doorway to those type of avenues, you have to also be aware that you are automatically a target. This is the second time that we've come on the broadcast and something along those lines has been mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, we won't know for sure until, I guess, they continue to do their investigation. Like you said, unfortunately, the end result of what we know is y'all were in there fighting, and now somebody's dead and the other one is in jail. You know, regardless of which one is dead and which one is in jail, it's still, you know, what I keep thinking about is, like I said, when Pastor Seth says someone has to be the first one to stop talking. And, you know, especially when you're talking about millennials and younger, it's like nobody wants to be the first to shut up because I just have to get my point across and you hit me, I have to hit you harder and, you know, so on and so forth. So, it was a real unfortunate ending of whatever transpired between them. So, did you buy the book, How to Murder Your Husband? Did you go to the book signing?
No, I most certainly did not, and you couldn't pay me to go there. You know, it's the fact that you actually took it upon yourself to put pen to paper and write it is completely shocking, you know. And a lot of times people end up getting caught because you're writing a list, you know, by duct tape, rope, you know, knife,
yes.
that type of thing. she went all above. I mean, she literally actually wrote it. You know, I where I used to live, and it's a small town in Virginia, there was a lady that, you know, was speculated to have killed her husband. She threw him down the well. You know, she cut him in pieces and put him in the well. And they never found out what happened to him until the boyfriend turned up missing. And I think about 6 months after that, we found out that he was buried in the backyard. Now, this is down where we used to live in Virginia, and she never wrote a book, and I'm sure she didn't get any accolades. And you just have to be very, very careful, because you never know, you know, what's near you, what's around you, even with you looking online. Everybody's not writing a book. I think that was extremely dumb of her to try and write it, but, you know, and my thing is, you're talking about you don't want to share anything. Now you got to share everything that you own, because who's going to take care of your effects now that you're incarcerated? Not only that, you don't get access to half of the stuff that you would have gotten access to if you simply divorced. You know, there are proceedings to help you get things done. Yeah, lawyer fees are much, but now what are you getting?
We just don't think when we want to express what we thinking. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Lady Tamika, for joining. So happy you're able to join again. So, of course, Mondays here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph is Relationship Mondays. And I did come across a topic that I thought was a little interesting. I didn't really read it too much for intended purposes. But it was 10 relationship problems that millennials face and how to deal with them. Now, I know outside of me and Vivian, like, we're the only two millennials here, but I thought it would be very interesting to get some feedback on what they're saying, especially for those who are not millennials, because, you know, they have a little more experience in these areas than we do. So the first point that they're mentioning in the 10 relationship problems millennials face is jealousy over an action taken on social media. Social media actions can possibly have large consequences in relationships. Discovering that your partner has liked a bikini or shirtless photo can be disturbing, and it can lead to fights. In such a scenario, you must always remember that jealousy serves no productive purpose, and it is important not to read too much into your lover's actions when it comes to social media. So first, let's pull up Brother Al and see if he's available. Good morning, Brother Al.
I'm sorry, you got to come back to me.
Okay, thank you. Well, Vivian, what do you think about that first point?
Well, I don't know if it's a difference because I'm married now, but if I found my husband liking bikini photos and whatnot, I would feel some type of way. I don't know if it makes a difference if it's married or not. I would assume not. If you're in a serious relationship, there's just certain things that you shouldn't be doing, regardless of if she should be jealous or not. It's just like, why? Like, I just think that you shouldn't be doing certain things when you're in a relationship.
Right. Well, I happen to agree with you. And no, whether you're a millennial who's married or just dating, I don't really see the difference in this particular tip that they're giving. But yeah, I happen to agree with you. Keddy, what do you think of the jealousy over an action that's taken on social media?
To me, they shouldn't have that nonsense on social media. To me, I would just say, you know, and I'm married and, well, separated. And even if I had somebody, I still would say they shouldn't have that stuff on social media, because it's, you know, everybody got to know your business. I don't get it. So no.
Okay, thank you. Pastor Charlene, what do you think about jealousy over an action taken on social media?
I wish he would. No, I'm just like.
I'm about to say, I'm right there with you, Pastor Shaw. I'm right there with you.
No, that's so disrespectful. If you are married or in a serious relationship and you have these pictures going, what are you saying about our relationship that you must look at something else or send that out? So that's very disrespectful.
Thank you. Thank you. Lady Tamika, jealousy over an action taken on social media.
I think that's across the board. It doesn't matter how old you are. There are certain things that you shouldn't and shouldn't do, and you should have common sense to know the difference. And that doesn't matter whether you're married or not. You know, certain things that you shouldn't do. You know, or just common sense. You don't like any of my photos, but even if it's not a bathing suit photo, you got somebody, a mutual friend, or even somebody, I just happen to look across your page and I see like on somebody else's page. Something as simple as that can cause all kinds of chaos in a relationship.
That's a good point, Lady Tamika, because I know people who do that in a relationship. You know, you don't like my stuff like that, but you like, and I'm with Pastor Charlene. I wish I would be happen to be scrolling on Instagram and see a chick in a bikini and then see my man's name as so-and-so likes. Really? Oh, okay. Well, you can like her even more on the other side. Because it is. You know, it's, and I've heard so many excuses, mainly by men. You know, well, that's what we were on social media before. Who said? Or why are you even following? If this is what she posted, you don't need to be following her. Because if you saw me liking a man with all he has on are Speedos and he ain't got no shirt or nothing on and he ripped. And let me tell you something about men. If your man ain't fit and you like a man's picture who is fit, you might as well stab them in the eye with a pencil because they go all kinds of off. They go all kinds of off. So it's like, you know what, just flip that in your mind when you decide if you're with your wife or with your girl and you put it out there for the possibility of her seeing you like a picture of some females in a bikini or almost naked. It's like they, you know, we don't think about these things. You know, so we got to put that out there. Yes.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, and that's a red flag. Ding, 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 ding.
But they don't see it like that. But it's okay. They'll see it when you leave. But the next point they give is fubbing can cause fights between couples. Now, this is for millennials. I ain't never heard of fubbing. But fubbing is basically when a person ignores their partner by constantly being on their phones. Believe it or not, some people tend to look at their phones more than their partner on dates. Okay, we've been through this plenty of times. This can make your partner feel left out or ignored. To avoid this, make a no-phone rule for dates. So we've actually been over that a few times on Relationship Mondays. Depression and stress. This should be interesting. Several reports have suggested that millennials tend to be more anxious and depressed, and they struggle with more mental problems than previous generations, which is partly due to fast-paced life powered by technology. A stressed or depressed partner can affect a relationship. The best way to deal with this is to focus on your partner's mental health and try out meditation or other remedies to deal with it. Lady Tamika, what do you think about the depression and stress?
I do believe that. Now, I want to make sure that I'm understanding. So another person's depression or stress can deal with a hardship in your relationship. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, or maybe even yours. But yes, to also see that in your partner.
Yes, definitely, because you're trying to tell them to look on the bright side of a situation. And if they're the type of person who constantly has that type of mentality or that's where they're bound in their spirit, it can become overwhelming and overcoming. And it's like, you know, you're looking at the sky and they're looking at the dirt. So all they see is the grime and the filthiness. And you're trying to say, hey, look up. They never get that opportunity. It's not that they don't get the opportunity. They just choose not to. They're comfortable with looking to the ground. And you know, they may look as far as maybe, you know, knee level, but they never really genuinely see things the way that you see them.
Good point. Good point. I like that. They're always looking down. You're trying to get them to look up. I like that. I like that. Vivian. Distraction. I'm sorry. Depression and stress.
Can you come back to me? I'm sorry.
Sure. No problem. No problem. Ketty. Depression and stress.
Yeah. Depression is big, as you can see it, and within us, because we go through a lot and we keep it inside of us, and it's not good if you're depressed, because it reflects on your partner, you know. And I feel like if, you know, we're depressed and we're stressed, we should just, you know, just take a moment with ourselves and you know, just relax. And just, you know, figure out, pray if you have to pray, and ask God, you know, why am I depressed, why am I stressed, you know, so that way you won't bring it to your partner, and your partner becomes stressed because you're stressed. So
right.
I would just, you know, pray and just ask God to relieve, you know, give you peace of mind, give you rest, before you, you know, give it to your partner. You know, you don't want to see your partner in stress and depressed, because you're depressed and stressed because of something you're going through that you kept within inside you, you know?
Good point. Pastor Charlene, depression and stress.
Yes, and it is real, but I've found that sometimes when people get to that place, some people don't want to come up out of it. They want to stay there because they want to have a pity party. And they want you to play a part with them. And they want you to, because it's more or less of that saying, if you love me, this is what you'll do with me, you know. And one of the things that if they don't want to come up out of it, you can do whatever you want to try, to try to help them to come up out of it, you know. And which was, you know, come on, let's do something. Like even these tips you gave us this morning, you know, if they can do some of them, you know, the timeout, the workout, you know, and it can relieve depression if you want it. So sometimes, you know, it depending on your partner. And with that, if somebody's going to just continue to bring you down, that's something that you need to think about as well.
That y'all gave some really, really good points. And what stems to my mind also, and I think it was mentioned, was you now bring the other person down. You know, because even if they are the type to want to help you, like, okay, you know, come talk to me, what's going on, that, like you said, Pastor Charlene, if I'm not ready to come up out of that, ain't nothing nobody going to be able to do for me. Because I'm not even willing to do anything for me. So now this is just going to be end up being a blind leading a blind situation, because it's but so long you're going to turn that other person up to either they succumb to how you are or they just leave. And especially now, it seems like with the millennials, it's like I'm depressed, so I'm killing everybody. It's like, okay, well, listen, you can be depressed by yourself, because I don't want to be in the headlines with you. I don't need my name in the article with you because you're depressed. Or you're so stressed, and because you don't know what it is, like you said, Pastor Charlene, take the tips that God's given us and take your 5-minute mental health break. Now everyone around you ain't here no more because you just bugged out. And if you all that depressed, you don't need to be in a relationship. If you all that stressed, you don't need to be in a relationship. And millennials, you really need to learn this, well, what everybody does. Okay, commitment issues. Millennials have more problems settling in than previous generations. As there are so many choices and a fake sense of perfection, people can have commitment and trust issues. For this,
One must change the way they perceive things and work on a bond that is both strong and sturdy. Please, if you have any thoughts, comments, opinions, text 347-755-4548 or call in. I'll call you up if you would like to be told to share on air with us. But commitment issues, Pastor Charlene.
Absolutely. I don't understand because, you know, they got to have 15 girlfriends, 99 boyfriends. Being committed, I don't know why people don't want to be committed. If you don't, say that. One of the problems is that one person thinks they're committed and the other one is not because they don't want to be honest and say, I don't want to. And that's a big problem. Because a lot of times when you hear the women, and they do it to the men too as well, but mostly the women are more committed in the relationship and they think that they are the only one. But he over there dating your friend that's supposed to be your friend and he over there dating somebody else down the block. So I don't know why people don't want to be committed. But all of these diseases that's out here, y'all need to be committed.
thank you. Teddy, commitment issues.
Yes. I don't know why it's a problem for anyone to commit to one another. Because, like Pastor Charlene said, this man want to be with this one want to be with that one. It's just like, why are you in a relationship if y'all can't commit to one another? You know? For me, that was my biggest issue. I was always the one who wanted to commit, but the other party, the other man, didn't want to commit. For what reason? Because he wanted his cake and eat it too. So commitment is really... And it has a lot to do with communication as well. You have to communicate
right.
to find out which one, you know what's going on within between the two of you guys. I mean, between the, you know, the man and the woman. But
right.
commitment is really, really, that's one of the biggest issues in the world. You know, everybody have some kind of commitment, whether it's a man or woman, whether it's a job, whatever it is a lot of people just don't want to commit to anything.
Thank you. Let's see if our brother Al is available. There he is. Good morning, brother Al. Okay, I'm going to beat him up because he did tell me he was available. But Lady Tamika, commitment issues.
Oh, yeah. I think, honestly, when it comes to commitment, a lot of people, it's that fear of what if I, you know, and what if, you know, we're often told don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know, and you can do this and you can do that. But there comes a time when you get a little older where you realize, you know what, I don't really want to put all my eggs in, you know, I'm all right with putting my eggs in one basket and trusting God, you know, and that's the thing, trusting God to keep me in all my endeavors, you know, and Pastor Charlene is right. There's too many things out there, diseases that can catch you. And the other thing is dating. I'm just going to be honest, you know, as myself, it can be a lot of overrating because you don't know what kind of things, you know, we often talk about the representative is always there and you're thinking that, oh, I finally found him or I finally found her And then months later, you've been investing, let's just say, a minimum of 6 months. And then on the seventh month, they're tired of acting and they become themselves. And now you got to start all over with somebody else new who may or may not be the representative. And all of that is very frustrating. It's trying. And, you know, it can be a lot overwhelming. So I'm like the ladies. Let's go on the other side and go ahead and, you know, I'm not rushing you to the altar. However, take your time, but be wise.
Yes. Yes. And I actually had a conversation with someone about that yesterday. And they're like, well, I don't really understand it either. I can understand the internal battle with yourself, you know, but if I'm saying, okay, this is what I want, then this is what I want. And I used to be the type where I was like, listen, tell me if you want to put me on rotation. You'll know what I'm cool with. I'm fine with being put on rotation.
Exactly.
I'm fine with it. Just know you also will be on rotation. But like Pastor Charlotte said, because you don't want to be on rotation, you'll tell me you want the commitment so that I can stay here and put all my eggs in your basket. Meanwhile, you go out and do whatever
right.
it is you want to do. And it doesn't only mean you dealing with other women. Like necessarily, just you still having the friendships that you have, or you know, you still talking, like you don't want any restrictions with yourself. But when you're committed to someone, you have to compromise and understand that there's certain things that you have to tweak and change and possibly eliminate to make this relationship work. And I'm cool with you not being with that, but let me know that, you know. But of course, again, they don't let you know that, and it goes both ways because some women do it also. They don't let you know that because it's, well, I want you to myself. And it's like, well, somebody feeling going to get hurt. Because now once that's found out, then now you get mad when they're playing by your rules. It's like, so we really got to be careful because there's more than one way to say things. Like, you don't have to literally say, this is what I want to do. The way I move can tell you, this is what I want to do. Yeah, I came across another one I think is really interesting, especially for millennials. More misunderstandings. These days, people mostly text or send a DM, and to understand one's emotion with a four-word text is obviously difficult, if not impossible, because of which more misunderstandings crop up between couples. The only solution to this is communication, which something Pastor Steph touches on all the time. But Teddy, more misunderstandings.
Yes, I agree with that texting. First of all, I can't text fast enough. And a lot of times people be saying, what is this? And they get offended because I'm trying to make it short and sweet. And they're like, what is this? And they get offended. So the texting is definitely... not a go-to. I would go on the phone because the phone says it, you know, phone speaks better. This is where you want, you know, your partner, whoever you're talking to or texting, won't misinterpret what you're trying to say. So,
right.
Yeah, that could be, the texting is bad for me because I can't text for it. It's too fast.
Thank you. Vivian, more misunderstanding.
With the millennials, absolutely, because don't nobody know how to communicate in general, whether we face-to-face, on the phone, or through text. So now if you're trying to text your feelings, that makes it even worse. So absolutely, millennials have a very hard time with this thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I said once I saw the title, I didn't even read the explanation. I was like, yeah, this is definitely us. Definitely us. Thank you. Lady Tamika, more misunderstandings.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one, you text something and it's interpreted a different way. And you might have said, well, I meant such and such and such. Well, that's not the way that I took it, you know. And because it's a text and it doesn't have any emphasis on the pronunciation of which particular word, all kinds of things can, you know, I can text something and just because of what might have happened earlier, you can base the, you can put emotion on it, you know. People say that text doesn't have emotion, and it doesn't. It's based on the perception of the receiver. So if I received it a certain way, then basically it's valid based on how I feel. So if I'm angry with you and you sent a text saying I'm going to the store, oh, in my mind, oh, you're mad. So now you're going to walk to the store as opposed to finishing the conversation. I'm led to going off of how I feel as opposed to when you call me and say, you know what, let's just take a little break. I'm going to the store. Everything's fine. I just need, you know, I realized I was cooking something and I forgot an ingredient. That makes things go over a lot smoother than I'm going to the store. It was read, I'm going to the store, even though you just simply text, I'm going to the store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Charlene, more misunderstanding.
Well, I misunderstood when you text me because I hate texting. I don't know that you're screaming at me. I don't know that you're mad at me because I pick up a phone. So this texting thing, what I don't understand about the texting, why are you having a conversation when you're sitting side by side, but you having a conversation on your phone? That I don't understand as well. So texting for me. Like, I don't know the shortcuts because I always got to say, well, what does that mean when y'all just do them letters? And then if you make it large, the whole thing, why are you screaming at me? So I don't know. So I'm going to take it all in the future.
Oh, my gosh. But it's so true. It is so true. And you know, Lady Tamika mentioned what Pastor Steph says all the time. You cannot tell someone else how to interpret your text. All our text was, what? Well, why didn't you pick up? You know, I remember when I was younger, like my early 20s, and, you know, you getting into it with your boyfriend, and there's this back and forth texting, or you hang up and then I hang up and I call right back. Well, I forgot to say this. Well, let me tell you one more thing. And while we at it, don't mention. And it's like now, if I feel like I hang up on you, that's the end of the conversation. I ain't calling you back. And the only way I'm calling you back is if the Lord said you got to apologize. And trust me, I am already mad at that. So I ain't calling you back if I hang up on you, unless the Lord tells me to call and apologize. I'm not texting. No, I've gotten to the point where I don't even read the text. I see you texting me something, especially like if we hung up arguing and then you text me. What am I reading it for? You didn't said everything you needed to say when we were on the phone or when we were face to face. I'm not reading this. So it says a lot of like, and then don't text me something and then you misspelling the words and all that. See, already, not only am I not I'm deleting it. Like I don't even want to come across it because now I can't take you serious. I don't care how mad you are. This is how you spell on the norm. I'm not paying you no mind. So you really have to make sure that you're being, and Pastor Shauna, I will say, I even do that with Pastor Steph sometimes. Not that I'm mad, but like if we're texting about something and I need to put emphasis on it, it's in all caps. And she does the same thing with me. Because I'll be saying, because such, 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 and, like, I need you to understand how this and is coming across. Like, this is a strong and. Like, make sure you put in this second part with the first part, because this second part really must go with the first part. But don't forget the first part when you read the second part. Like, you got to put it in all caps sometimes. But if this is a norm, like Pastor Charlene said, because I have somebody who, whether they're happy, sad, mad, sleepy, awake, running, standing still, everything they text is in all caps. And it just gives me a headache. It's like, okay, you're suspended from ever texting me ever again. Like, pick up the phone and call, or I'll talk to you when I see you in person. So it does say a lot for, if you take this relationship serious, you have, like Vivian said, it's bad enough that some of us don't know how to communicate in person. We can't now go to the behind the text screen and now we texting because it really ain't coming across. So thank you so much, my due time crew.
for coming on. Thank you so much, Vivian. Thank you so much, Ketty, for jumping on with us this morning. I always love talking to y'all, but y'all were able to show and allow the other listeners to hear why I love talking to y'all so much. Because y'all just always keep me laughing. But thank you so much, guys. Lady Tamika, Pastor Charlene, for being on this morning. Everyone have a blessed day.
Thank you.
You
enjoy,
do
the lady. You did a wonderful job, baby girl.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much. If this was, like, live, y'all would see me over here sweating. Because Pastor Steph is listening. That's like when they say the big boss ain't going to be in the building, but then the big boss is really in the building, and you're like, oh, no. Okay, so we have to close our Monday with our switch tip from me, Shantice. For the switch with Shantice this week, I have the switch tip where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 99 is do your recap. I can't believe that we're at switch tip 99. I said to Pastor Steph last night, I was like, ooh, how bad is my life that the Lord had to give me 99 tips on how to live properly for him. But all jokes aside, I give him thanks because this could have been 99 things that he could have allowed to stay away from me that I would not know anything about. So with it being the 99th tip, I just thought it was very, very, very important that we do a quick recap. That I actually did a recap because especially within the past 2-3 months, I've been feeling the Holy Spirit, telling me, like, go back and listen to that tip. Go back and listen to that tip. And when you do a recap, you're doing a summary of what has been said. So, again, I can't take any credit for coming up with these tips because these ain't my tips. He's just trusting me to share the tips that he's given me with y'all so that y'all can now take these tips on and apply it to your life and now live by them so you can see the fruits of your work and have the ultimate goal of being with Jesus in the end. But when I thought about, you know, doing a recap and now going over these switch tips, it brought me to the responsibility of having the knowledge of God. And, you know, there's a few times in the Bible, I believe in the New Testament, where, you know, they talk about knowing the mysteries of God. You know, God doesn't reveal his mysteries to everyone. There's certain things that God puts us onto that the angels ain't even been put onto. And I find that, like, whoa, because when you go back to Genesis, and you look at the creation and the order and everything, like, we're right under the angels. So if we're under the angels, but yet God still trusts us with certain things, you know, and it's no shade to the angels. But I'm just saying, he let us in on certain things. It's already a blessing because, again, he chose each and every one of us. He looked down and said, okay, I see this sick, twisted, chaotic world, and I'm choosing Shantice, and I'm choosing Pastor Steph, and I'm choosing Ketty, and I'm choosing this, and every single one of y'all who are listening to this broadcast, whether you're a regular, whether this is your first time, he's chosen you to no longer live on the world's terms, but live on his terms. And that means that you have to take care of the knowledge that he's giving you. And again, like I just said a few minutes ago, there's more than one way to say things. So when we don't obey his commandments, we're not taking care of the knowledge he's blessing us with. When we take our time and do what he says, we're not taking care of the knowledge he's blessing us with. When we know what to do but choose to go our own way, we're not taking care of the knowledge that he's blessing us with. So we're not being stewards over the information he's given us, the knowledge that he's given us. And I was trying to find a verse that, you know, went with that, and the one I came across that I thought was best was 1 Timothy 4:15 in the Message version. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. So immerse means to involve yourself deeply. So I'm going to reread it with the breakdown of the word. Cultivate these things. Involve yourself deeply in them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. So he has not given us these switch tips so that we can just hear it, like it or not, maybe like a few of the verses that he gives us and then go about our business for the rest of the week.
until we hear the following tip, do the same thing, and go about our business until the following week. No, he's given us these things so we can take them on and dive deep in them, deeply, so that we can allow it to manifest in our behavior, in our speech, in the way we move, in the way we think and see and hear and everything. And now other people, we're not doing it for show, but when we do it genuinely and we allow these tips to now change us from the inside out, now everyone around us will be able to look and see our maturity. And sometimes they catch on to our maturity and our growth before we even do. So I wanted to real quick mention a few of the switch tips that I need to immerse myself in, the ones I really need to involve myself very, very deeply in. And there's more, but I just wanted to choose a few. It was switch tip one, possess that quiet strength. And that was aired on March 11th of 2020. That was our very first episode of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And I, God gave me that switch tip because I had a very big problem of, oh, so I'm a punk. Okay, so I'm a punk. So I always had to, I felt like I had to make my strength known to people. And then he reminded me, you know, Jesus reminded me when he was on the cross and when he was being tortured and all of that and died for our sins. There's a whole lot he could have did. He could have bucked up a few times, but he didn't have to let his strength be known. His strength was shown once he completed the assignment. As soon as he completed the assignment, his strength was known, and most of them fell to their knees and said, oh, my God, this really was the Son of God. So you really got to be careful about when you feel like you have to assert yourself. Switch tip three, embrace your singlehood. And that was aired on May 25th of 2020. I have to be reminded of that sometimes because, again, like we just went over the relationship tips for millennials. You know, out here in these streets now, especially if you're a millennial, if you're not married, you ain't doing nothing. If you ain't married and you ain't got at least one child, then you're a loser. You ain't really accomplished nothing. And if you really look around, most of these relationships are in sham. So it's like, what do you think I'm really supposed to envy? But nonetheless, this is what they tell you. Okay, switch tip eight, love your enemies. That was aired June 29th of 2020. Jesus, yeah, ever since last week, I've been having to really pay attention to, you know, when Jesus said, and Jesus took me to a deeper meaning of when he said, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And I thought, well, wait, God, Jesus, when I was your enemy, I wasn't necessarily hungry for, you know, regular food, but spiritual food. And even though I was your enemy, you still fed me spiritual food, and that's the reason why I'm able to get at least 1% better. So he needs us to do that for others. Switch tip 17, remember, it's not about you. That was aired August 31st of 2020. Switch tip 43, shut up and push through. That was aired March 1st of 2021. Switch tip 44, don't flirt. That was aired March 8th of 2021. Switch tip 77, tame your tongue. That was aired November 1st of 2021. And switch tip 92, stop cussing. That was aired February 21st of 2022. So I ain't texting it to y'all, but y'all can hear the tone of my voice. I've gotten a little better, but there's still some conversations where I feel like my point ain't getting across until I start cussing. And then all the light bulbs and epiphanies start going off and start happening. But then as soon as the cuss word come out, it's like I wish I could just grab it back and put it in my mouth. I can't be out here cussing, especially if I'm ministering Jesus. They don't go together. So these are the switch tips for me that I have to make sure that I go back and listen to and reread the verses and really pay attention to what God had me say in that moment, because those are the things that I now have to fall back on. So if any of those fix you, then please don't hesitate to go back and listen to those, okay? So just want to thank you guys so much for joining me this morning. I will be your host again tomorrow for Thursdays, for Church Folk Tuesdays, and Wednesdays for our Wow Wednesday. And then, God spares, we will have Pastor Steph back on for Thursday and Friday. But again, I say thank you so much. Please hit up Pastor Steph on Facebook and let her know how you think I did, good or bad, right, wrong. We welcome everything. Thank you so much for joining us. Please tune in again tomorrow for Church Folk Tuesday. And in the words of Pastor Steph, I love you.